Some of them are burned in through intensity. What do I mean by that? Oh, I mean like a child will see her mother hit by a car. That's a one-time incident, isn't it? But it was so intense that it was burned into her memory bank, so that when she's 42, she still may wake up at night screaming and crying out, "Mother," because she's just relived it all again. It was burned into her memory banks through intensity. All right, some of the patterns there are fear, anxiety, apprehension, hate, and your self-esteem can be built on that. Well, let's look at a few of these, like manipulation. Something that you just learn to walk in. For instance, when Press was little, we lived next door to some little girls, and they were over playing one afternoon. I had the window up. I always would listen what was going on, or I'd be out in the yard. That's always a good practice. And so as I was out there and listening to what was happening, this little girl, whose name was Shara, they were talking about what they were going to play, and Shara said, "Well, if you don't play what I want to play, I'm just going to go home." Well, Press shaped up, and he did exactly what Cher wanted to do. Well, now, I didn't call a family conference at that point, but when Press came in that afternoon, I talked to him. I said, "Now, Press, honey, let me tell you something. The next time Cher is over here and she says something like that, let me tell you what to say. You say, 'Okay, Cher, see you tomorrow.'" And she won't do that. But you know, some of us, our mothers never talked to us, or our mothers never pointed that out to us, and we're still manipulating. We're still taking our dolls and going home when things don't go the way we want them to, aren't we? That's a pattern of manipulation, isn't it? Manipulating by guilt, and this will come out. "After all I've done for you," or guilt, "Oh, just don't worry about me. I'll get by. I'll be all right." Watch yourself in an argument. Is there a phrase that you come up with when you begin to see that you're losing? "Well, I just seem to do everything wrong, don't I?" That's manipulation. "Okay, I'll just drop out of everything." That's manipulation. We lie to manipulate. And something that I've seen among adults is this. We play a game. Who can be the sickest? Because, you know, whoever is the sickest, they get the attention, don't they? And so I'm sicker than you are, and it really doesn't bother me to go to the hospital because then I get a lot of attention. Manipulating. Indulgence. Oh, it's such a devastating thing, and we're going to be talking about that some more. Inferiority. The thoughts that come. A gal said to me the other day, "Annabelle, I just feel so stupid when we're out quilting. Mine just looks so awful." But the same woman would tell me, "I feel so stupid when I try to play tennis. I feel so stupid when we're talking about this." These things that come out, inferiority, are hostility. What do I mean by hostility? Well, I mean elbowing your way at the grocery counter. You're just standing there maybe washing dishes and somebody comes up and touches you and you turn around just ready to bite their head off. You miss something and you're ready to blame somebody. It certainly wasn't you. Just hostile thoughts are there all the time where you're just at a level of 8 with hostility and you let the least little thing happen and you just explode. That's a pattern that you learn to walk in. Pattern that has been built in through consistency. Let's look at intensity over here. What am I talking about? Fear. You were raped. Just happened one time. But if ever, on an autumn evening, you're walking down a street and there's some sort of a building over here that's casting a shadow and there's something dark over here like it was that night in the densely wooded area, all at once you feel your heart just pounding madly and your hands get sweaty and your breath starts coming and you've just got to get out of there. Well, that just happened to you one time. Oh, but you see, it was such an intense thing that it was burned in through fear. Anxiety, apprehension can be built in. Hate. I remember the little gal that said to me, "Annabelle, you just don't know how I hate my dad." I said, "Why, Barbara?" "My dad molested me, Annabelle." Come to find out, it had happened twice, just twice. But you see, it was such an intense thing that it was burned into her memory banks, and she hated. Hate. You saw your dad beat your mom, and hate just dwells in there. This self-image here. I heard a lady give a testimony. Her name was Louise Moore. And she tells how she was sent away to boarding school, which would let her know that things weren't quite right at home. But she had learned to live with that. Now she's 16 years old, and it's time for her coming out. It's a very wealthy family. And so she's home, and they're going to have the debutante's ball. And she and her mother have gone shopping. And she's bought a dress. And she says that as she was standing there looking at the dress, she's home now, there's a trifold mirror, and she's standing and she's looking herself in the mirror, and she says, "Never had I seen anything so beautiful." And then her mother came into the room. And she said, "I just knew Mother was going to say to me, 'Louise, you look so pretty.'" But she didn't. Instead, her mother said to her, "Louise, you will never be a pretty woman. You had better learn to be attractive." And Louise Moore says, "I spent 40 years trying to learn to be attractive." A one-time statement. I talked with a gal just a couple of weeks ago, a size 10. But she feels fat. And it affects her sex life, it affects everything about her. And as I talked to her, her mother told her one time in a very intense setting, "Look, if you're ever going to be attractive, you've got to be thin." And that was burned in. You see, the self-image built in through patterns of consistency or intensity. Satan is going to take advantage of the patterns that have been built in. Now, Bill has shared with you what he came to believe about how Satan speaks to you, you know, with first-person singular pronouns and a Georgia accent. Let's look at that scripturally. And you don't need to turn to the scriptures. I'll read them. You can jot down the references if you'd like. 1 Chronicles 21:1. Listen to this carefully. I think this is so exciting. 1 Chronicles 21:1. "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." Now, did you hear it? Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. How in the world did he do that? David knew better than that. He knew that God didn't want him to number Israel. And if you go back and read it, Joab told him, "Don't do this, David. You're going to bring disaster if you do this. Don't do this." But it says that Satan moved David to do that. How did he do it? Oh, well, that's easy, Annabelle. King David was in the throne room one day, sitting on his throne, and one of the soldiers came in and said, "King David, Satan desires an audience with you." And King David said, "Send him in." And so Satan comes in and he says, "David, I would highly recommend that you number the people." And David said, "Yes." Well, that's not the way it was at all, was it? Ask the Lord to show you now as we talk about this. We can fantasize in our own minds. You know how I think it happened? Oh, I think David was out walking on the rooftop one day. Bad things always happened when David was on the rooftop, right? David was out on the rooftop one day, and he was looking out over the city. And thoughts began to come to him. And they were thoughts like this: "I'm king. I'm responsible for that teeming mass of people down there. And I don't know how many guards I have on that gate. And I don't know how many chariots I have for that gate. And I don't have the least idea how many horses I have. I've got to number Israel." And he did. But the scriptures say that it wasn't his idea. It said Satan did it. John 13:2 says this: "And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him..." Oh, you mean that wasn't Judas's idea? No, it wasn't. The scripture says that the devil put it in Judas's heart to do that. You see, Judas was impatient to bring about change his way. And Satan gave him that thought.